And did you come from a town or a village or a city? What?
City of Putnam.
How do you spell that?
Hmm?
How do you spell that?
K-O-N-O. Of course, I lived in a little town like nearby, so I was going to that town too. The little town was Lil Key. V-I-L-K-I-E.
And how large was this village that you lived in?
Well, the village was approximately 10,000. It was a fairly good-sized town. City of Covenant was the capital of Lithuania.
And what type of house did you have? Remember your house there?
Yes. A frame house.
It was wood. And what about the roof?
The roof was a shingle.
Shingle roof. How large was the house?
The house was, it was rather like a duplex, a double. One part of it was a sister of mine lived in it, and we lived in the other half.
Who lived in this house with you? You said your sister lived in one house?
Well, at one time in this house, there were seven children. Mm-hmm. And but after the family grew up, some got married, and one sister moved in, and the other half of the building.
And how long did you live there?
Well, I was 18 years when I came over.
And did you live there from the time you were born?
I was sleeping in my house.
Let me be sure this is working. Now, you lived here until you were 18 years old. Did you do any work in Europe?
4 years.
What sort of work did you do?
I was a scaler. I don't know if you know what a scaler is. A scaler in this country, in Europe, they called a master. We used to measure logs on the rafts coming down.
Down the river?
On the river. I worked for a German outfit, 14 to 18 years, 4 years. This, if you want to tell them about the flow of this, of the rafts, the logs used to be made up in rafts, you've seen them. Then they flow in. Germany, from Lithuania.
I see.
From all parts of Russia and Lithuania. From the tributaries and all kinds of, and the large rivers.
What languages were spoken in your home?
Yiddish. In fact, several languages, Lithuanian and also Polish and Russian. I mean, it's because in Europe, when you play with children, you have a mixture of all, and that's how you learn to speak the language.
Mm-hmm.
You play with German children, Lithuanian, and Polish, and Russian, or so. If you want me to give you a lot of details, I will.
Oh, I do. And you started to work when you were 14. Did you have any schooling before that?
I had a pretty good private school in Philly, Hebrew scholar at 14.
You had a tutor, in other words?
I had pretty good teachers to write German and Russian and so on.
You learned to write German and Russian?
Still speak Lithuanian very well.
You sure do? What was your... Go ahead. Especially in that time.
Experience working for my trip used to go between Germany one way after another, and then we'd send in the, in Europe it's called the staircase, in the sentinels, sending when the German buyers used to come in, they used to go over the rafts and sort of see what type of logs they wore, you know, whether it was pine or oak or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we'd send in the measurements into Germany, and that's how they used to pay those so many millions and thousands of cubic feet or some of them, I don't know.
I see. What was your synagogue like?
Just we had, in this town we had about four synagogues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you know, I told them, I say the 60% were Jewish in this town.
Uh-huh.
Unless a small village where there was.
Would this be like the shtetl? Is this, would be the
kiosk? A shtetl is a, that's right, a village is, it's a shtetl.
And, well, you said there were four synagogues. Did you go to one special one?
Yeah, well, one was closer to our home.
And what was that like?
It was similar to, I'd say like the Paul Zedek Shul, you know, with a sort of a Zedek Heder and a social center and so on. I mean, it was just ample enough for the communities.
What did it look like?
What it looked like? Well, the closest thing I can tell you, one of them was a brick shul, similar to one we had in Washington Avenue. Remember that Washington shul? I think it's still there. You know?
Well, I'm from McKeesport, so I think it is still there. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Similar to the to what the others were. Two of them were brick synagogue, and the other was frame.
And you say 60% of the town was Jewish. Now, what about the non-Jewish people? What were your relations with the non-Jewish people?
Well, I'd say, I use expression because of the Lord and Master, but I don't want it. Sometime when you read it, it says that we really were very influential people in the town. Of course, in those days.
And do you mean your family or the Jewish people?
The Jewish people. For one reason, because the Jews there were more or less, they used to give work to the peasants.
They were the employers,
in other words. They were the employers, practically. And they were very influential with the Russians. The Russians were taken. You see, we were then on the Europe and Russia, you know. Lithuania was even in those days, before the First World War. So, naturally, and I don't have to tell you, whatever police there was, whatever they were, they used to give him a drink and a few pennies, and he was always for them, you understand. So we lived very happily.
But you weren't equals. Is this what you're saying? You weren't equals?
Well, we were equals, in fact, more so because many times I'd say some of our Jews are no different than God loves them. I'd say if you give them the authority, they'll take advantage of certain people, you know. I don't say that they misuse them or anything else, but still they were in a position to give them the work naturally, so you give them orders. And because the Jewish people were more or less they were very big in the lumber business. See, they used to buy up Russia as very, very real forest of all types of, I mean, the finest timber in the world, Russia has.
From Russia.
Yeah. And having that, and most of the Jews used to be, they used to buy, for instance, they used to sell them. They used to sell this like the government used to own most of it, and they used to advertise, let's say, 100 acres of yellow pine, and then there'll be buyers from all over. They'll put envelopes like they do here, and sealed envelopes, and they open up the next morning. So we used to go out and we'd measure every log while it's in the forest. We'd measure the stump and then we'd call off the height system, sort of an estimate.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't real accurate, but it was an estimate. And then we, at night we'd put in a bid for so many thousands of rubles, what they used to call it. And then the highest bidder used to get 100 acres or 200 or so on. And then all the winter long they used to, would that be recorded?
Mm-hmm. It's got to go on the tape. Mm-hmm.
All winter long, the lumberjacks used to be in the forest and they used to cut the timber down and pile them up at the banks of the river.
Mm-hmm.
All winter long. Of course, Russia's got heavy snows. And it was late in the season. Many times the ice wouldn't break until after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'd roll them down into the river, first in singles, and then as they progressed down after the tributaries, and then they're going to the main river. The name of the main river used to be the Niman, N-E-I-M-A-N. And that's where the Niman, then the steamboats and everything else to go up and down the river, and the rafts, mm-hmm. and they're on the our man, most of the Jewish people in that neighborhood used to work on the rafts.
Mm-hmm.
They used to deliver the rafts into Germany.
I see.
And that's how the Christians, so because the Jews were the contractors and they used to hire most of them. That's a very, rather in Lithuania, all these years were very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Your people come from Hungary?
Mm-hmm. Not my husband's people, but they're from Galicia.
The Ampers come from Galicia.
But my family's all from Hungary. Most Matisse borders are from Hungary. Now, at this time in Europe, did you belong to or attend any political organization? Zionist organization or a Bund or socialist, nothing like that?
No, I was only 18 years in my... I had to, at 21, I had to be in the army, and I had two sisters in this country already,
mm-hmm.
which they left in 3-4 years before I did.
All right, we'll come to that.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, so when I was thinking of going into the army at 21, I got myself all set after my 18th birthday, because I used to go into Germany back and forth, mm-hmm. and I didn't have to steal away in, which mm-hmm. some people used to do, across the border.
Mm-hmm.
And thereon, I had a ticket to come to this country. I came to New York.
What was the relationship of your country to the Jews? You're saying Lithuania was under the Russian yoke at that time.
Lithuania, Poland, all those countries, even Latvia.
Mm-hmm.
See, Lithuania is part of the Baltic states.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all those countries were, even then, was under the Russian yoke. But after the First World War, if you remember, they were sort of like Poland, given back the freedom. Lithuania had... That was after I left already. I came here in 1911.
Mm-hmm. But what was the relationship of your country to the Jews? How did they treat the Jews?
Well, I'd say very cordial.
They were cordial to them?
Yes.
And you talked about, you knew you were going to have to go into the army. What did you think of America at this time, before you came?
Oh, I knew enough that my sisters were here. I had two uncles and two aunts, two married uncles and two married aunts lived here in this country, and they were wealthy too. And I found I wanted to come here. But I still had, in Europe, I left two brothers who were in the army, and one sister we left in Europe.
So you left the country in which you were born because of the army. Is that the major reason? And you came to the United States because you had family here.
Yes, I have.
You never considered going to another country.
Not alone that. I even joined the army. At least I didn't have to when I came here in the First World War.
Is that right?
I was in fifth class, and I loved it so much that I lived in Altoona at that time. I came from New York to Altoona, which I had uncles. One in Clearfield, and then the war broke out, and you know, my bells were going when I joined it.
You did that too?
Voluntarily.
And you had a definite destination. Was that Clearfield?
The destination, though, was New York. And then my cousins and my uncles, they lived in Clearfield and Kerbinsville. They had two stores there, and they sort of wrote to my sister, said, "I'm going to come over here." You know. So after 3 weeks in New York, I took a train and went right to Clearfield.
You were in New York alone?
I was with my sister in New York. One sister lived in New York, one in Des Moines, Iowa.
In Des Moines, Iowa. That was a strange place for a Jewish person at that time.
Des Moines, Iowa?
Wasn't it?
We must have had 200 people from our town living in Des Moines.
Very. My, and then you went to Clearfield after New York. And you had uncles there?
Clearfield. I had an uncle there. I stayed in Clearfield 1 year. And from there, my uncle bought another uncle, one of mine, bought a store in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
And how long were you in Altoona?
In Altoona, in fact, I spent in Altoona the year of 1913 to 1926. I was married, and I had a Mrs. Robinson, comes from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But I got married, and the first two children were born in Altoona.
I see. What?
If I talk.
Oh, not at all. I mean, if I just have the facts, it's nothing. You need these little enrichments. Everybody's got a different.
Deeds.
Everybody has a different slant, a different story. Now, when you came to this country, were you part of a group traveling together? You came by yourself?
I came by myself.
And how did you travel from Lithuania?
Lithuania, I really lived not very far from the German border. From there, I came to Hamburg.
How did you get to Hamburg?
By train.
And then you took the boat from there?
Yes, because my sister sent me a paid fare all the way to.
Mm-hmm. Who met you in New York?
Who met me in New York? A brother-in-law of mine. My sister's husband.
What objects or papers did you bring with you when you came from Lithuania?
What are you referring to? What objects? What?
Well, did you bring anything with you but your clothes? Let's put it that way.
Just about. Any other papers, my passport, my whatever necessary. And then I come over to Castle Garden, and there I was mustered out or checked out, whatever you want to call.
You had no treasured possessions or nothing that you brought along?
Not from the old country. Very few people did.
It's true, but a few women brought some things.
Well,
that's
a rare occasion.
Yes, that's true. Is your name the same as it was in Europe?
Well, in Europe it was Rabinovitz. It was changed here to my family, Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't want to mention that at all. I mean,
you don't want to
give any names out there.
No, no. The only thing I'm interested in is that it was changed.
The name was changed. That's
all. That's all.
I wouldn't.
No, no. Don't worry. In fact, I
won't.
The name
was slightly when I came over, my family, the whole family called themselves in Clearfield and Kerbinsville in New York, the Robinson family.
Yeah.
Say the name was similar to the one in Massachusetts. So, what the name was adopted for the rest of the family. There was uncles and aunts while before I came.
What do you remember? What first impressed you when you came to the United States?
Yes, I came. I never saw a color black man. All the years I lived in Europe. When I got off of the ship that night, I stayed over in Kessel Garden, and I saw the black janitor scrubbing the floor, and he was chewing tobacco and spitting black ink. You know, the main thing is that's strange, but it's the feeling
out.
I never saw a black man, and especially he was chewing this black stuff, you know. And I couldn't understand just what kind of people they were.
Had you ever heard that there were such people as black people?
Well, that's you always hear. When you come see, you read about the islands or Africa or so on, yes, but.
I never encountered one of them.
That's
and you saw this right at the Castle Garden.
I sort of followed them on a little bit to see if he's the excellent, is just as human as we are.
And what did you think? Did you think he was?
Well, yes, I did. You can leave. You heard of Rome, Atlanta, Rome, and Emma. She was Rome. And I married her, and I was at my uncle in the clothing business there. Then I opened up a store for myself in right near Altona, Juliet. Buddy and Don was born there, and Sandy was born there. In 1926, I joined up with her people.
I was going to ask you what impressed you when you came to Pittsburgh. Now, this wasn't your first 5 years in this country. It was later.
It was when I came to Clearfield.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it impressed me so much. I was 18 years old, and I was a great lover. And I had my cousins, with six boys and two girls, were all born here. If I'm out of water, tell me. So when I came over, and I wouldn't say I was handsome, but I was a clean-cut boy from Europe. And my aunt lived in Kerwinsville, that's 6 miles away, so I stayed with a Catholic family in Clearfield. And then we had a store there, so I used to open the store, you know, in the meantime. The children were all high school kids, and they used to take me out to parties. I was green as grass. I just can't tell you how you feel when someone speaks to you, coming over from a foreign country, and you're like, they want to explain you something, although you can catch on the language within a few months, you know, almost. It's the, and you have to say a sentence. Very often it'll be misplaced somewhere. So I remember one particular night after the year, about 2 months, one of the this Catholic family made a date for me and themselves. And was a Judge Bell was there, and two beautiful girls, you know, they both were in high school. This lady Isabel was my girl. I have been in the clothing business. You learn from my cousins, you know, they were funny, and they wanted to see me saying, so they thought to say a few slang words too, you know. So the first thing I love to say is I don't give a goddamn. So I remember I took this little Isabel home. This was the greatest thing in the world happened. The act of green on. I got Judge Bell's daughter out, something around it, so came time to go home. She says, "My Alex, come back again." I said, "I don't give a goddamn." She says, "Oh, you mustn't say that."
Oh, that's funny.
Something that got me thinking. I said, "Be careful what you're saying." After 4, 5, 6 months, it sort of comes natural to you. many have told me, even then, that I, for a greenhorn, I spoke very well. And not having the Jewish people around, because there were so very few Jewish families in Clearfield. Mm-hmm. So you just really, and I studied at night a great deal too. I never, I might as well say I've never been inside of a school in this country. Whatever mm-hmm. whatever schooling I had, it's just
before.
Reading or writing mm-hmm. or so. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget a cousin of mine was graduated high school, and I was here 3 months. And this just a little incident happened. He had a Jewish girl in Portage, it's right near Johnstown. P-O-R-T-A-G-E.
Well, small town, I guess.
So he was corresponding with her. And I look over his shoulder one day, and three of my cousins were in one store, and the other three of my cousins were in Germans Road. I looked over his shoulder, there was a high school graduate. This one, they were here, one of those the guys that know everything. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell him anything, and my older cousin used to make fun of him, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't tell him anything. So I see he's spelled Portage. Something that you don't forget, P-O-R-D-A-G-E.
Oh.
I says, the name was, I guess, like, just so right. I think it's a misspelled, isn't it? What the hell do you know about it?
Oh.
He burned up, so I remember my other cousin walked up. He says, you might as well go to college, too. He says, you just come out of high school. The spelling is great. Boy, I never
saw anybody. Your ear was good.
I never saw anybody burning up.
Sure, if you have a good ear, you have a good ear. You heard it. What about Pittsburgh, when you came to Pittsburgh? Do you remember your first day in Pittsburgh?
I spent in Altoona. I spent 1911 to 26, mm-hmm. and I was in the clothing business. At first, I was at Mount for several years, and then I went myself. And after I sold out in 26, I came here in Pittsburgh, and I joined up with my in-laws, their Mormon sons, in the wholesale grocery mm-hmm. business. And my impression of Pittsburgh was very good. At that time, it was full of a clean city. The smoke was out of this world. I guess you'll remember a little bit about it, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's not so long ago.
It's just, I don't know, 10 years ago you still had
That's
this.
Right.
I sort of got accustomed to it. And it was a friendly city, and I like Pittsburgh because, after all, we have a major league here. You see a ball game. Mm-hmm. Some other, although Pittsburgh used to be very dead on Sunday. Sunday was a before the Bellin's Ruble laws, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just there here on Sunday that we go to some mining town. And I stayed with my illness till 34. Mm-hmm. And then I went in the Camden tobacco business. And little by little, I started Pan Avenue, made the Bogus Yards. Is this being recorded now?
This is being recorded, but I'm not writing it here because